Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Let us pray. Lord, we believe in your word. We believe that your word stands through time. We believe, Panginoon, ang iyong salita ay active sa aming mga buhay, that is able to pierce through the intentions of our hearts. Alam ko, Panginoon, iba-iba ang pinagdadaanan ng bawat isa. They could be going through hurt, pain, offense. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you would speak right into their situation. Mend the hearts that are broken. Set the captives free. We thank you, Lord, and I pray that this word today would be transformative, thought-provoking, mind-renewing sa aming lahat. We thank you, Lord, and we honor your word. We honor your presence with us today. Have your way, Holy Spirit. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. All right, para sa mga note takers ngayon na nasa harapan, para sa mga note takers, if you need a title for today's message, it is The Courage to Let Go. The courage to let go. Offense. Sabihin natin, offense. We have all been there. Tayong lahat somewhat or sometimes, somehow, ay na-offend na sa ating mga buhay. Amen? Sino pa ba dito yung hindi pa na-offend? Sino pa ba dito yung hindi na nasaktan ever in their lives by some other person? Lahat tayo ay dumaan sa offense sa ating mga buhay. Lalong-lalo na with the increase of social media nowadays, right? It is not difficult to find something that is offensive. Amen? Right? Tumataba ka, Mars? 35 ka na? Wala ka pa rin jowa? Oh, bro, Brad! Nangyari sa buhok mo. Di ba kapag bagong haircut yung mga lalaki tapos managita may ano dito. Pero nangyari. Mars, bakit parang ang kukulit ng mga anak mo? Yung mga ganun, yung mga unsolicited advice ng ibang tao, yung mga comments at yung mga ano nila, mga side comments nila, sometimes it really is very triggering, di ba? Nakaka-triggered talaga yung mga comments ng mga tao sa ating mga buhay. And have you noticed that people are so easily offended these days? Right? Everybody is offended. Men are offended. Women are offended. Pula, dilaw, puti, itim, di color. Gen Z, Gen X, baby boomers, millennials. Lahat tayo, seems like everyone is offended. We live in an age and an era of offense. Ate Dayan, this is my offended era. Kung ang iba nasa kanilang radiant era, ikaw nasa offended era. With the rise of cancel culture, microaggression, gaslighting, di ba? Napakauso ngayon yung cancel culture, no? Kapag ang isang tao, iba yung pananaw sa pananaw mo, iba yung views niya sa views mo, iba yung decision making niya sa decision making mo, all of a sudden, ayaw mong pakinggan yung isang tao, kaya ina-unfollow mo siya, kaya ina-unfriend mo siya. And that is exactly the definition of cancel culture. Kina-cancel mo agad yung isang tao dahil lang ayaw mo sa opinion niya. Dahil lang ayaw mo sa binoto niya. Oops, don't go there, Ate Dayan. We are now dubbed as the most offended generation. Nakaka-offend yun. Nakaka-offend yung, diba, anong, yung ngayon na tinatawag tayong tayo na daw talaga ngayon, yung pinaka-offended, madaling ma-offend na generation. And that is offensive. Before, it's not you, it's me. Pero ngayon, it's not me, it's you. No? My question to you right now, Global Family, Church, what do you do when other people offend you? Ano yung natural response mo kapag na-offend ka ng tao sa paligid mo? I remember when I was a kid, nung bata pa ako, kapag when I get scolded with my char English, kapag pinapagalitan ako ng mama ko, ang natural response ko talaga, wala na lang akong ginawang tama dito sa bahay na to. Lagi na akong gumagano pag pinapagalitan ako ng mama ko, lalayas ako! Hindi na ako mahal ng mama ko. Wala na talaga akong ginawa. Naghugas naman ako. Naglinis naman ako. Wala na talaga akong ginawang tama dito sa bahay na to. Pwes! Lalayas ako. Pero lalayas ako. Talagang aalis ako. May daladala akong bag. Pero hanggang sa kapitbahay lang naman. Di ba kasi syempre, hindi man tayo ano. Di ba, hindi mo walang tayong makain. Di ba? So, balik ako sa bahay namin. But is that your natural response kapag ikaw ay na-offend ng isang tao? Is that your natural response kapag na-offend ka, you pack up your bags and leave? Umaalis ka ba sa simbahan kapag na-offend ka? Umaalis ka ba sa relasyon kapag na-offend ka? Kina-cancel mo ba yung mga kaibigan mo porket na-offend ka? Or, ito naman, do you stay? Do you stay but leave emotionally? Yung nandun ka, eto wait, yung nandun ka, pero yung puso mo, wala na dun. Ganun ba yung natural response natin, Church, when we get offended? Or, do you passive-aggressively post somebody on social media? Etong taong, an open letter. Huh? An open letter. Ganun. Do you passive, or nagpo-post ka ng stories mo, ng Bible verses, para patamaan yung tao na naka-offend sa'yo? Is that our natural response? Or, ito yung isa sa mga paborito ko, do you keep rehearsing over and over and over again yung mga ginawa at nasabi ng ibang tao sa'yo na para bagang nanonood ka o nagbi-binge-watch ka ng Netflix o ng K-drama series na paborito mo, inuulit-ulit mo sa isipan mo kung ano yung sinabi nila sa'yo? Sino ba talaga yung, tama ba yung nangyari? Ano ba talaga yung nangyari? Inuulit-ulit mo until yung puso mo ay napuno na ng bitterness, ng anger at ng hate. Ganun ba yung natural response natin, Church? Or do you go and ruin their reputation behind their backs? Alam mo, friend, alam mo, ginagawa ko lang to kasi gusto ko itong protektahan. Diba, minsan, it's funny how we justify slander and gossip just because we're offended. Amen? Or, eto worse, do you pay them back by revenge? Eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. Ate Dayan, diba yung sabi sa Old Testament? Do you know why that eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth was implemented in the Old Testament? It is because of the danger of revenge. The reason is that they had to put some boundaries. Kinailangan na lagyan nila ng boundaries yung revenge in their culture is because whenever somebody offends us, we think that they owe us something. And then our natural response is not just to do what they did to us, but to go even further. You cut off my finger, I'll cut your whole arm. Ganun yung revenge. That's exactly what revenge is. Matitikman ninyo ang batas ng isang api. Diba? Ganun yung nararamdaman natin kapag gusto nating makaisa. Gusto nating commit revenge against somebody that offended us. But thank God. Thank God for Jesus who says, no more eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But now, turn the other cheek. What do you do when someone offends you, Church? The truth is, you are entitled to do everything of the responses, lahat ng responses na na-mention ko kanina, you're entitled to do that. In fact, go ahead. Do it. Pagkatapos ng service natin today, paglabas ninyo dyan, go ahead and blast that person on social media. Just don't call yourself a believer or a Christian when you do it. Because there is a biblical way to respond to offenses. And that is exactly what we read today in Matthew 18. Kapag nagkasala yung kapatid mo, if somebody, if you are offended, go and point their fault privately. Talk to them privately. And then, kung ayaw nilang makinig, go ahead and get somebody, 2 or 3 persons, para mag-witness sa inyo. At kapag hindi pa rin nakinig, go ahead and tell them to the church. In the spirit of reconciliation and restoration. Yun yung gusto ng Panginoon para sa atin. Now, God, Jesus, is fully aware. He is fully aware of the dangers of offenses. In fact, sabi ng Panginoon, when He was about to be crucified, ginather niya yung kanyang mga disciples, He gathered everyone. In Luke 17 verse 1, He gathered everyone and he told His disciples, sabi niya, it is impossible that no offenses should come. Imposible, kapatid, na hindi ka masasaktan. Imposible na hindi ka masasaktan ng mga taong nasa paligid mo. You will be offended. And if you don't understand that offenses are inevitable, na talagang mangyayari siya, whether you like it or not, you've already lost the battle. Dapat alam mo, the first step is understanding that offenses are inevitable and they're going to come your way if you are going to run the race that God has set before you. Ang problema, kapag iniisip natin, I'm going to run the race set before me. Iniisip natin that it's going to be a race with an open track. Ibig sabihin, wala na tayong offenses, wala na tayong makakaharap na mga hurts in our lives when we run. Iniisip natin, Milo Marathon eh. Di ba yung tatakbo ka lang? Ganun yung iniisip natin kapag sinasabi ng salita ng Panginoon that run your own race. Yun yung iniisip natin, natatakbo lang tayo. But no, let me show you what it really looks like when Paul said to run the race set before you. I have a video here. Let us show the video. This is what it looks like to run the race set before you, kapatid. Kita mo siya? Hirap na hirap siya, pero nagpapatuloy siya. Amen? It is a race with fences. Fences of offenses. And as you run, you're going to run into some hurdles, into some hurt, into some offenses. And as soon as you run into those offenses, kapag nasaktan ka ng isang tao, now you have a decision to make. When you run into offenses, you have a decision to make. It is either to stand and to stare on that offense, or are you going to be so committed sa pagtawag at sa purpose ng Panginoon sa iyo na kahit merong offense dito sa harap mo ngayon, you do not care what is in front of you. You will not stop what is in front of you from fulfilling the purpose and calling of God for your life. You have a decision to make, church. Decision mo yan. Kung magpo-focus ka dun sa hurt, kung magpo-focus ka dun sa offense, kung doon sa taong nakasakit sa'yo, or you're going to set your eyes on the price of Jesus for your life. You have a decision. Now, I am not discrediting how you feel because I know that there are some people here with legitimate hurts, legitimate trauma, legitimate abuse. They have gone through hurts and offenses. And maybe, yung ilan sa atin dito, you're still not over it. And I'm not downplaying that sa buhay ninyo. I empathize with you. But that's fine. I'm just telling you right now, na until you cross over, you get over that offense, I'm just telling you that you will waste the years of your life stuck in front of a hurdle that God wants you to get over. You will get stuck, kapatid. Hanggat ayaw mo, hanggat wala kang tapang na i-let go ang mga offenses na yan sa buhay mo. Offense is an event. Offended is a decision. Offenses, because they are inevitable, ibig sabihin talagang darating siya sa buhay mo, whether you like it or not. Since offenses are inevitable, they will come in your life, ibig sabihin, being offended is optional. Decision mo. You are going to get, people are going to throw offenses at you. It's depende sa'yo if you're going to take that offense. Being offended is optional. If being offended is optional, that means that you can actually live your life unoffendable. Offense-proof. Na kahit anong sabihin ng iba, kahit anong insultong sabihin sa'yo, kahit hindi ka pansinin. Well, kasi you're set on the price that Jesus has for your life. You can actually choose to be unoffendable. To be offense-proof, kapatid. And God is looking for believers now more than ever who look different from the culture and are not easily offended. Kasi ang mundo natin, konting kibot lang, di ba? Offended agad, popost agad sa social media. Di ba? Magagalit agad, aalis agad. Di ba? Pero ang Panginoon, naghahanap siya ng mga Kristiyano na hindi magfo-focus doon sa offense. No matter how small or big that offense is and that hurt is, magpapatuloy ka pa din. Because you're set on the price of Jesus for your life. God knows exactly how dangerous it is when someone is offended. It is very dangerous. That's why the Lord in-outline ng Panginoon saan, kapag na-offend ka, ito gagawin mo, Matthew 15. Because it is very dangerous. This is how dangerous it is. In Proverbs 18 verse 19, it says, an offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. Ang fortified city, ibig sabihin, you have these high walls. You have this wall set up in order na yung enemy hindi makapasok sa inyong city, sa inyong syudad. That's why it's fortified. At ganun daw, kahirap na i-win back yung isang tao na offended. Kasi may walls siya. Because there are fortified walls, arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars. I love this quote from John Bevere. He said, an offended heart is a breeding ground for deception. An offended heart is a breeding ground for deception. Kapag tayo ay deceived, it is very dangerous. Because when you are deceived, you believe with all your heart na tama ka at yung kaaway mo yung mali. Pero hindi mo alam kasi nga deceived ka. When in fact, na ikaw pala yung mali. That is very tricky, di ba? It's very dangerous kasi nga, hindi mo alam kung kailan ka nagkakamali. And that is what happens when you are offended. Nagiging breeding ground yung puso natin ng deception. When we are offended, we construct walls in our hearts and in our minds to protect ourselves from future wounds. Ibig sabihin, nagiging selective tayo sa mga tao, sa mga bagay, sa mga advice na tatanggapin natin. That's why, hindi mo na alam kung nadideceive ka na pala. Hindi mo na alam kung tama pa ba yung mga decision at yung mga emotion na nararamdaman mo kasi nagiging selective ka. Dinideny mo yung mga taong tingin mo ay makakasakit sa'yo. Yung mga salitang makakasakit sa'yo when in fact yung mga taong yun or yung mga salitang yun ay pwede palang makatulong sa'yo pero hindi mo ma-identify kasi nga, deceived ka. Kasi nga, offended yung puso mo. We filter out anyone we think owes us something. That's why kapag offended ka, hindi you cannot go to all of the places kasi may mga tao kang iniwasan.
Kasi pinifilter out mo eh, yung mga taong sasamahan mo lang eh. Diba? Without knowing, we open our lives only to those who we believe are on our side. The thing about this is that it's very dangerous kapag ganun yung paningin natin or ganun yung ginagawa natin na in-open lang natin yung buhay natin sa mga taong nag-a-agree sa atin is because we know that man is an extremely fickle beast. Ibig sabihin, pwedeng mahal ka ngayon, bukas hindi na. Pwedeng nagpapalakpak sa'yo ngayon, pero bukas igogosip ka. Pwedeng nagsasabi ngayon ng hosana, hosana, pero the next day, crucify, crucify. That's why you cannot trust man. You cannot trust yung decision na gano'n, na i-open mo lang yung buhay mo sa mga taong mag-a-agree sa'yo. No. You have to listen to the word of the Lord. Without our knowing when it happens, itong mga walls na ito, itong walls of protection, become a prison for us. Ibig sabihin, hindi na natin, we close ourselves, not just to people, not just to relationships, not just to advice, but we close ourselves to the truth. Hindi na natin marinig kung ano talaga yung totoo. Hindi natin matanggap kung ano yung sinasabi ng salita ng Panginoon kasi we are focused doon sa hurt, doon sa offense. No wonder that this quote is, it makes a lot of sense. Forgiveness is setting a prisoner free only to realize that the prisoner is you. Kasi pinuprotektahan mo yung sarili mo sa mga bagay na akala mo makakapag-protekta sa'yo or that will not endanger you. Pero in fact, kasi kapag, di ba, kapag nasa prison ka ng sarili mong, tinutorture mo yung sarili mo sa mga bagay, sa mga emotions, sa hurt, sa bitterness, sa lahat ng mga bagay na possibly ano kayang nangyari, sa mga questions, di ba? You repeat it over and over and over again and that seems like a prison. But when you forgive, di ba sinasabi nila, hindi lang yung taong yon yung it's not just the other person that you're setting free. In fact, pinapalaya mo din yung sarili mo, kapatid. Pinapalaya mo din yung sarili mo from the responsibility of being the justice maker. Because you are not the perfect justice maker. Why? It's because hindi tayo fair. Because we're not fair is because we only see our own perspective. When an offense happens, they say that there are usually two sides of the story. Diba? Ganun yung lagi nilang sinasabi. But actually, I beg no. I think there are three sides of the story. Your side of the story, their side of the story, and God's side of the story. That is why the Lord is the greatest and perfect justice maker. Kasi siya yung nakakita sa lahat eh. Siya yung nakakarinig sa lahat. Ikaw, limited yung perspective mo, kapatid. So you cannot be your own justice maker. You've got to forgive that person. Praise the Lord. So, Ate Diane, in the face of offense, what must be our posture? Para ma-prevent natin yung ating mga sarili into going into that deception, into that breeding ground of bitterness and anger and hate. Ano dapat yung ating posisyon at ano dapat yung ating posture ng ating puso in order for us not to get or not to take these offenses, Ate Diane? Kasi kakasabi mo nga lang ngayon, offenses is very dangerous because it allows you to be deceived. So ano dapat, Ate Diane? Paano natin mabe-prevent? What must be our posture in the face of offenses? It's very interesting. It's because there's a kung hindi yung pinaka-offensive na story in the Bible, but it's one of the most offensive stories in the Bible. And I think, and I believe it contains the most painful offenses, but also perfectly demonstrates how we must deal with offenses. And this is the story of the Canaanite woman's faith. In Matthew 15, verse 21, sabi ng salita ng Panginoon,
leaving that place. This is a story of a woman, of a Canaanite woman. Leaving that place, ibig sabihin Jerusalem, because Jesus and his disciples are from Jerusalem at this time. So now, when they left Jerusalem, sabi ng salita ng Panginoon, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, you have to know that Tyre and Sidon is a Gentile territory. Ibig sabihin, hindi siya Jewish territory. And Jews and Gentiles, or Jews and Canaanites, are mortal enemies. So from this, from the first verse here, sinasabi ng salita ng Panginoon that that Jesus and the disciples were not in the, or at least the disciples were not in their comfort zones. Ayaw talaga nila na mapunta dito sa Canaanite country na ito or Canaanite region na ito, pero dinala sila ng Panginoon doon. Verse 22 says, a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Verse 23 says, Jesus did not answer a word. And so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." And then Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Sabi ng babae, "Yes, it is, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. This Canaanite woman comes in and cries to Jesus. But then, what is the reply of Jesus? Sabi sa verse 23, Jesus did not answer a word. Silent treatment. This is the offense of being ignored. One of the most painful and offensive things in life is being ignored. Have you been in those situations, mga kapatid, where you've cried out to God but He did not answer either yes or no, pero nakuha mo silent treatment lang sa Panginoon? Have you cried out to God so bad in your life? Okay, sana ako okay na lang siguro kahit rejected eh. Kahit no eh. At least I know where I stand. Pero yung walang sagot, parang feeling ko tuloy hindi ko deserve na makakuha ng sagot. Isn't that offensive? And if you're truly honest, you're offended at God's silence because you know His character. You know His capabilities. You know what He's capable of doing. That's why you're offended. But I love what this woman did. Because in the Greek, the original translation of this word where it was written, sabi doon, she kept begging Jesus. "Lord, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, please, please, please. Lord, maawa ka. Have mercy on me. I need you, my God, my God, my God. I need you. Lord, please, 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 maawa ka." She kept begging Jesus. But then, verse 23 says, so Jesus did not answer a word. Now His disciples, they felt like they needed to answer in the place of Jesus. So yung mga disciples ng Panginoon, yung sumagot para kay Jesus, sabi nila, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." Where in the text? I do not understand. Where in the text did it say that she was crying out after Peter? Where in the text does it say that she was crying out after any of the disciples? Wala, di ba? But then they felt entitled because they were in close proximity to Jesus. They felt like, alam mo yun? Yung pride sa puso nila, it's crazy. That the same disciples who should be reflecting the nature and the character of God had the audacity to send people away. No? It's crazy. Dapat sila yung nagre-reflect sa pag-ibig, sa patience, sa compassion ng ating Panginoon, but sila pa mismo yung nagtaboy sa babaeng ito.
Now, this is the offense of the church. Most of the time, the person that can hurt you the deepest is the person that is closest to you. And you're not alone. David, King David, had the same cry. Sabi niya in Psalm 55, verses 12 to 14, if an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising against me, kaya ko pa eh, tatago ako. Kung kalaban ko, iniinsulto ako, kaya ko pang tiisin. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God as we walked about among the worshipers. This is the cry that I hear all the time from people, mula sa mga taong wala naman silang problema sa Panginoong Jesus, pero may problema sila sa mga taong nagre-represent sa ating Panginoon. This is the cry of those people who've been hurt by the church. And we have to do a better job as Christians. I remember talking to some young ladies during Link Up. Wala pa akong sinasabi na anything personal, but I just felt a tug in my heart to say two words. Sorry, I'm sorry. And when I said those two words, they crumbled down in tears. And then they shared their story sa akin. And if you right now, if you have ever been hurt in the church, and if you've never heard these words, hear my heart when I say this. I'm sorry. What happened to you was not Jesus. But I also need you to see that this is a diabolical scheme of the enemy. This is a strategy of the enemy. This is a trick of the enemy for you to walk away from the church and isolate yourself. Public service announcement, there are no perfect churches. We are just purely imperfect people just trying to serve a perfect God. I'm not scared of the devil because he is not our greatest enemy. In fact, kung merong kapangyarihan ng kaaway na i-wipe out tayong lahat, he would have done it a long time ago. Amen? Diba? Kung capable lang siya, he could have destroyed all of us in a single moment. Agad-agad. But because he doesn't have that capability or that power, our greatest enemy is turning on each other and allowing the spirit of offense to creep in our hearts to the point na hindi na natin matiis yung mga taong tinawag din ng Panginoon to run alongside us to fulfill His purpose and vision for our church, punuin ng langit and fight for our family. Our greatest enemy is turning on each other. The enemy wants to keep us offended. He wants us to keep us offended with our brothers and sisters in the church. Kasi alam niya, if we could just get together, if we could just get in one accord, we will be unstoppable. Amen. Lahat ng pamilya natin, mga kaibigan natin, will be in this house if we would just get in one accord, church. But since the enemy knows that, he stumbles us, nilalagyan niya tayo ng pain, ng trap of offense. Tayo naman, we take it, we set our foot on that trap, and then we refuse to forgive our neighbors. Let us not allow the enemy to trick us, deceive us anymore, church. The purpose of the Lord is far greater than that offense. Huwag mong hayaan, kapatid. Napigilan ka ng kaaway na lakaran ng pagtawag ng Panginoon sa buhay mo just because you're hurt, just because you're insulted, just because you were betrayed, just because you are in pain. Huwag mong hayaan, kapatid. Satan is not afraid of a big church. He is afraid of a united church. Amen. Now, you would think, going back to the story of this woman, you would think that after these two offenses, na hindi siya pinansin ng Panginoon, na she was sent away, sinushushu siya, tinaboy siya ng mga disciples, you would think that she would just walk away. No? After those two offenses, kasi ako, siguro ako, wala na, umalis na ako. Di pala ako po importante sa Panginoon eh, hindi pala kayo na-answer ng Panginoon eh, tapos eto ba mga disciples na to? But no, this woman is just something else. Matthew 15:24. So Jesus answered this woman. Di ba lagi siya, she kept on begging Jesus, Lord, Lord, please have mercy, I need you, I need you. And then this is the answer of Jesus. I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. No, you did not. Kasi anong sinasabi ng Panginoon dito? Kung i-translate ko siya sa ano sa language natin, essentially Jesus was saying, girl, I'm not here for you. Let's look at the verse again. I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. As a Gentile, 'di ba? Kasi hindi naman wala naman sa atin dito Jew, 'di ba? Kung hindi ka Jew, you're a Gentile. You're hintil, ganun. So as a Gentile and as a woman, I'm offended. I can feel the pain in these words, but first, he tells the woman that she is not there for her, and that alone, I think, is enough for me to pack my bags and go. Who's with me? Amen ba? It seems as if that she was not important to Jesus. And this is one of the hardest offenses, when we feel like we don't belong, when we feel like we're not important or we are less important. But in these moments, it is crucial to remember that perspective is very important. Sabi natin perspective. Whenever you are offended, kapag tayo ay na-offend, you become blinded by that offense. All of a sudden, yung offense lang yung nakikita mo. And you look at the other person through the lens of that offense. Na lahat ng ginagawa niya mali. Lagi kang may nakikitang mali kasi offended ka sa taong yun. You look at that person, kahit anong sabihin niya, kahit pinupuri ka, kahit iniyayakap ka sa nang taong yan, lahat ng nakikita mo, nararamdaman mo towards that person is purely from the lens of offense. So wala ka nang nakikitang tama sa taong to. You don't have the proper perspective. That is why whenever you tell the story, ikaw lagi yung bida. Tapos yung taong, yung isang tao, yung kaaway mo, yung siya yung kontrabida. Di ba? Offenses blind you from seeing the perspective of other people. It's because pride is always behind an offense. Pride is always behind that offense. But what humility does, ibig sabihin, ayaw mong tanggapin yung perspective ng iba. That is pride, right? Ayaw mong tanggapin yung perspective ng ibang tao. So, ayaw mo na tingnan, ayaw mo i-accept na baka mali ka nga. Diba? Baka nga mayroon akong may pagkakam. Baka nga hindi ko na-express yung expectations ko. And all of a sudden, you were just offended. Pero ikaw naman yung hindi nagbigay na expectation. Ikaw naman yung hindi nagbigay ng mga gusto mong makita, right? And that is what offense does because pride is always behind it. But what humility does is that it makes you open to receive other perspectives that's different even though it does not feel good for you. Kapag sinasabi ng link up leader mo na, nak, baka naman kasi ganito yung nangyari. Nak, baka naman kasi eto talaga yung sinabi, hindi naman talaga ganon yung pagkakasabi. Baka naman kasi dumadaan sa pagsubok yung tao. Pero hindi mo matanggap yun, kapatid. Hindi mo matanggap. Kasi nga, offended ka. Kasi nga, you're lacking the perspective of the other person. And that is what happens when you are offended. What Jesus said was not talking about preference, but order. Kung titingnan natin yung sinabi ng Panginoon that I am not here for you, kung titingnan natin siya under the lens of offense, titingnan talaga natin siya na, ay talaga, sabi mo Lord, wala ka dito para sa amin. But when we have the proper perspective, ito yung perspective mga kapatid, he's saying that my mission is first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. It's not a matter of preference. Hindi pinaprefer ng Panginoong Jesus ang mga Jews kaysa sa Gentiles. It's just a matter of order. There has to be first. Kailangan talaga na mayroong una. Di ba? Na mayroong talagang mga tao na una niyang maaabot. And that is what happened here. I remember in Romans, Paul said that I am unashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles. Ibig sabihin yung assignment ng ating Panginoon was first to the Jews. It's because, why? It's because they were blinded by their religion to the point na hindi na nila makita yung need nila of grace. So kung offended ka, agad-agad dun sa pagkakasabi ng ating Panginoon, hindi mo makikita yung perspective ng Panginoon. That He was in fact there. Diba? The challenge with so many of us is that we bring our entitlement into our faith. Entitled na entitled. That dapat, Lord, una ako. Dapat, Lord, dapat inuuna mo kami. Ano ba yan, Lord? Do a better job. We think that God owes us something. No? God does not owe us anything. He gave us everything when He gave His life for us on the cross. Fact check lang, mga kapatid. Now, here's the last offense. So, verse 26, when Jesus said, let's go back to verse 25. So, pagkarinig ng babae na sinabi ng Panginoon that, girl, I'm not here for you. Sabi nung verse 25, the woman came and knelt before Him. Kung ako, umalis na ako, pero nung ginawa ng babaeng to, the woman came and knelt before, she worshipped Him. Nakita niyo yung puso ng babaeng to, sabi niya, Lord, help me. Kapag kasi desperado ka sa Panginoong Jesus, di ba? Hindi mo makikita na offense yung sinabi. Makikita mo yung perspective ng Diyos. She chose to worship Jesus. And then Jesus replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. For the second time. Hindi ko na kaya to. What do you mean, dogs? Anong sinasabi mong aso, Lord? Bakit naman ganun? Tawag mo kaming aso. What is Jesus doing here? Calling this woman a dog. One of the most powerful tools when you're reading the Bible is this, context. Sabihin natin, context matters. Before you go and leave this place and message Pastor Stephen, Pastor, parang that you allowed a false teacher sa speaker natin dito. Kasi sinasabi niya na Jesus called this woman a dog. Before you do that, please understand that context matters. Jesus was playing into the language of that culture. It's because at this time, the Jews called Gentiles dogs. Kasi nga ayaw na ayaw, talagang mortal na kaaway nila yung mga Gentiles. So kapag nakita sila ng mga Gentiles, sinatawag nilang, ay, dog. In fact, not just dog, wild dog. Kung sa language natin ngayon, asong kalye, askal. Ganon yung tawag ng mga Jews sa mga Gentiles. And on the surface, nung tinawag ng Panginoon yung babaeng ito na dog, on the surface, it looks like Jesus is insulting this woman just like any Jewish person would on the surface. Because in that day, Jews called these Gentiles dogs in a very insulting way. But Jesus, if you look at the original translation of this word, Jesus did not use the normal word for dogs. Niya ginamit yung wild dogs. Hindi niya sinabing askal, asong kalye. Instead, He softened it into saying little dogs or pet dogs. I don't know about you, but there's a huge difference between asong kalye at saka pet dog. If I'm going to be a dog, I'd rather be a pet dog. Diba? I don't know. I'm a pet owner myself. I think a lot of people here are pet owners, dog owners, right? Alam nyo na that there's a huge difference sa pet ninyo at sa mga asong kalye. For example, shelter. kapag umuulan, kapag may baha, asan yung mga asong kalye? They find the streets, they're under the cars, di ba? Makikita mo sila sa mga bridges, under the bridges, pero yung aso mo, kapag umuulan, nasaan? Nakahiga sa comfy, ano niya, di ba? May higaan siyang sarili niya. Sa pagkain, ang mga asong kalye, asan sila kapag gutom na gutom sila? Sa garbage. Pero yung aso mo, kapatid, alam ko, yung aso ko, mas masarap pa yung pagkain kaysa sa akin. Tapos, pag umuwi ako, dapat mayroon siyang pasalubong. Yung mga asong kalye, wala silang pangalan. Diba? Asong kalye nga eh. Pero yung aso mo, ha, pastiga ng pangalan, pa-fancy ng pangalan, diba? Because you are the master. You named your pet dog. What Jesus said here had nothing to do with the word dog or the term itself, but it had everything to do with who her master was. Just like the woman, I don't care. I don't care if I'm a pet dog as long as Jesus is my master. As long as I get to have what Jesus has. As long as I get to eat what Jesus eats. As long as I get to be in the same house with Jesus. It's not about the term. It's about who Jesus is in your life, that He is your master. She did not walk away. And because she stayed after each and every offense, she received her miracle, kapatid. She was not offended. Why? Ask me why. Why was she not offended? She had that humility in her heart. She had that humility in her heart. Kaya kapag tumitingin tayo sa bawat offense with humble hearts, nakikita natin yung need natin sa Panginoon. Nakikita natin na kahit tayo din nagkakamali, kahit I'm offended with this person, I am also not perfect. I need the same grace as this person. And that is the problem that we have, is that we lack the understanding of what it truly means to be forgiven by God. There's a story in the Bible about the unforgiving servant. Nagkasala siya. Hindi siya nagkasala, but he owed a debt dito sa master niya. And it says na yung utang niya, it amounted to, in today's value, 100 billion US dollars. Ganun kalaki yung utang sa master na ito. But then when he said, "Master, have mercy on me." Sabi nung master, "Okay, I'm gonna have mercy on you. I forgive you." But then right after that, nung pinatawad siya, binigyan siya ng patience and compassion nung master niya right after, what did he do? Pumunta siya ngayon sa kapatid niya, sa neighbor niya, and he asked for that person's debt. Bayaran mo ko ngayon din. At ano yung utang nung taong yon sa kanya? It is only equivalent to 100 days wage. Wala pa sa 0.00006237 na part doon sa pagkakautang niya doon sa master na yon. And when the master found out kung ano yung ginawa niya doon sa neighbor niya, the master said that you are a cruel servant. You are unforgiving. Hindi mo alam the magnitude ng pinatawad tayo ng ating Panginoon. Sometimes nakakalimutan natin that we are not improved people. We are dead people in the first place. Na kung wala ang Panginoon at pagpapatawad ng Panginoong Jesus para sa atin, we would be dead right now. You would be dead in your sins. Pero dahil pinatawad tayo ng ating Panginoon, Church, ano pa ba yung pagkakasala ng kapatid natin sa atin? Forgiveness is evidence of truly being forgiven. At kapag tayo ay laging hindi nagpapatawad sa ating kapwa, it goes to show that your heart has never really been touched by the love of Jesus. Alam niyo, the promotion, the breakthrough, the miracle, the healing,
the restoration, the reconciliation, everything that you are praying for right now is on the other side of that offense. But it depends on you. If you're going to get over it, if you're going to have the courage to let it go. Let it go, kapatid. Amen? Hindi siya magiging madali. Pero araw-araw, paulit-ulit, we are going to decide. Pipiliin ko yung purpose ng Panginoon para sa akin. Pipiliin ko na ibigay yung pagmamahal na natanggap ko sa Panginoon. In fact, ganun yung pagkakasabi ng Panginoon sa atin. We will be known by the world that we are His disciples if we love one another. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Let us pray. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, our good, gracious Father in heaven. We love you, Lord. Maraming salamat sa iyong salita na patuloy na nagtatama ng aming mga puso, na patuloy na nagmemen, nagpapagaling ng aming sugatang mga puso. Lord, I pray that you would give each and every one of us here today the courage to let every offense go and choose, Lord, piliin yung purpose mo at calling mo para sa amin, Lord God. And choose to love our neighbor wholeheartedly, unconditionally. We love you, Lord, that we're able, we thank you, Lord, that we're able to do this because of your great love. Maraming salamat sa iyong pagpapatawad sa amin, Panginoon. Bigyan mo kami ng puso rin na palaging nagpapatawad. We love you. We honor you, Jesus. We give you grace. We give you glory in the name of Jesus, our God. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hello, Global Family. Thank you for listening. If this message have impacted your life, please consider following this Spotify account. Connect with us. Let us know what God spoke to you today. Where are you streaming from, or how can we pray for you? If you want to support this ministry and continue advance God's kingdom para punuin ang langit, I want to personally encourage you to support and give financially. Go to our website, gscmnb.com/give, so you can know how the ways that you can support the ministry. See you soon. God bless you.